Should have put cough drop in. All right. What? Try not to be long tonight. I did not. There it is. There's some things I did not catch, and I did catch this time, or I don't think I caught. I didn't look at this one. Okay. I wanted to point this out before I change it in the Constitution. This is something that, this is where false doctrine, different things, you have to be very careful, because I want to show you from the Bible what the Bible says. And like I said, I can make mistakes, others can make mistakes, but God's Word is perfect. All right. If you've got your Constitution, we'll go through it real quick, and I'll read these, and then we're going to look at the Scriptures and look at these things. I did not look up the other scripture that I wanted to, that need to put in here. I don't think, unless it was sitting, I didn't forgot, but I'll let me look it up. Anyway, okay. The devil, Isaiah chapter 14, I'll be over there in just a minute, but I'm going to read to you this, and then we'll read and start here in Isaiah 14. The Constitution says of Satan, we believe in the personal existence of Satan, that is true, the devil, who was created a perfect angelic being who willingly led a host of other angels in rebellion against God. What I'm going to take out is the next part of that. I did not catch that before the world began. This is very important. That is, this teaching comes from the thought of what's known as the gap theory. They believe that the God created the angels and that they fell to the earth. But and anyway, it's complex. Maybe I'll get into it one day before. But this is important, that this says before the world began. But I'm going to show you from the Bible that the Bible says his ways were perfect in the Garden of Eden. That's important to know, because Satan... It's important to know, because when you read the Bible, Genesis chapter number 1, in the beginning, there's nothing. So either we're going to accept what God says, that there was nothing and everything was created. That means when he created this earth, he also created the heaven, like the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, with the host of the angels and everything, all of it there in chapter 1. Or there was something before that, and we've gotten it wrong. I'm going to show you what the Bible says so that you can understand. Why is this important? Because if Satan fell from heaven, where did he fall to if there was nothing? See what I'm saying? So that's why it says against God before the world began. If he rebelled against God before the world began, where did he fall to? But you'll see in the Bible it says he fell. Where did he fall to? He fell to the earth. So the earth was existing. So that's very important. Anyway, this goes along. There's what's called the gap theory that they'll teach. There's also another one too, but they basically teach that they're trying to reconcile evolution with the Bible. They try to say that the world was here, there was a world before this, and that Satan corrupted it. That's not Bible. That's not what the Bible says, and I'm going to show you tonight. But anyway, I'm going to take out that before the world began, because that's not true. After the world began, was Satan failed. All right, now, who is the author of sin, sickness, and all false religions? Who is the accuser of the saints and tempter of all men? And who shall be cast into the lake of fire with his followers at the end of the millennium to remain there forever? We further believe that he is the deceiver and God, little g, of this present world, that his powers are vast but strictly limited by God. Satan has power, but he can only do what God allows him to do. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So Satan at this point can only do what God allows, and he cannot touch those, just like Job, we're going to look at that. He cannot touch those that are saved. That he was defeated and judged at the cross, and therefore his final doom is certain. That we are able to resist and overcome him only by the armor of God, by the blood of the Lamb, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to go through these scriptures, and I'm going to show you all this. Father, help us now this evening as we examine that our adversary, God. That old serpent, Lord, that old dragon, Lord, that's causing us all these problems on earth, God, because of sin. The devil, Father, and I pray that you would help us, Lord, to bring that forth tonight. Touch my throat. Help me, Lord, to get through this tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 14 now. Let's look at verse number 12. Consider here what he says here. How art thou fallen from heaven? If heaven was the only thing that was there, he couldn't have fallen because there wouldn't be nowhere to go to. O Lucifer. So we know that this is one of the names. If you want to keep track of this, you can keep track of it. There's many names that are given to the devil. Lucifer is his angelic name. As far as I know, there are only three angel names mentioned in the Bible. If you want to be a true Bible scholar, I could be wrong, but I'm 99% sure that as I've read through this, there's only three angel names that are mentioned in this Bible. Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. Those are the only three angels' names mentioned in the Bible that we know of. Now, that's not to say the rest of them don't have names. That's just the ones that God has revealed. So that's a good question, kids, that may ask. Name one of the three angels' names revealed in the Bible. So you should be able to name one of those three, Michael, Gabriel, or Lucifer. And so his name was Lucifer, is his God-given name, son of the morning. That is his position that God gave him, that he was the son of the morning. He said, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Excuse me. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? So several things here. We see that he was fallen from heaven. I already said that. His name was Lucifer. His position was we'll find out over here in Ezekiel. He is what's known as the covering cherub. Cherub is another form or another word for an angel. We know that in the giving of the law, when God gave Moses the law and God gave Moses the dimensions of the tabernacle and all the pieces of furniture, that when God made the ark, he covered it with what? What's it called that he covers the ark with? The mercy seat. And on the mercy seat are what? On the mercy seat's what? What are there? Two cherubs. Two angelic beings. Angels, cherubs, that's the same thing. And they are covering with the mercy seat. And so if you see that, that's what they are. They're cherubs. Cherubs is just another word for that. So you'll see that in the book of Ezekiel here in a minute when we go to that. We'll go to that after we go to Job first. But here we see that. His sin was pride. He said, I'm going to be like the Most High. Is that not where we're at in our day and time, where people exalt themselves and try to be their own God and try to be their own person. That's the same thing. Nothing has changed in 6,000 years. Man is still just the same way. How thou art fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Thou art cut down to the ground, that didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. So we see his pride. He was trying to be God. That's why Satan is caused us a lot of problems. And so this is where one of the places here in the Old Testament that gives us a picture and tells us about Satan. Go with us now back to the book of Job real quick. Job is before the book of Psalms, chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1. Job 1, verse number 6. Excuse me. This is often a misused, misunderstood verses of Scripture. I want to make this clear, but I'm not going to dive deep into it tonight. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. The sons of God here are saved men. That's what this is. They are not angels. We've gone through this before. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, the sons of God, the Bible says, looked upon the daughters of men and saw that they were fair. And people take that and say that it means angels. There is nowhere in the Bible, unless you take these two verses, this one and the one in Genesis, and take them out of context, there's nowhere where God ever refers to angels as sons. God refers to those that are saved as his sons, as the family of God. And if you take that correctly and use it correctly, everything else makes sense. But if you take it incorrectly, like some men have, and use it incorrectly, then it distorts the Bible and makes a very distorted view of the Bible. You're allowed to believe that if you want to. Again, we may not see it eye to eye, but I can show you in the Bible where he calls us sons of God. This is very important. They came to present themselves before the Lord. Where do they do that? At church, at a sanctuary, at an altar. And the Satan also came among them. Many people believe that this is a picture of angels. This is where distortion comes in. They'll say this is angels, the sons of God in heaven, coming to present themselves before God in heaven. And Lucifer also comes up there. Why would the angels need to come present themselves before God? Man does that because man is the one that needs to be redeemed. Man does that because man has to be. So that's another thing. So anyway, I believe what it's saying here is just like you and I are right now assembled to church, in church. We may not be able to see them because we don't see them, demonic things. But there's no doubt, or very little doubt in my mind right now, that there may be a demon in this building right now watching what's going on, because demons are all around us. They're not omnipresent like the Lord. The devil can't be everywhere. He's not the Lord in that sense. But he has one-third of the host of angels fail with Satan. And so there's demons everywhere. People can be possessed by demons. But tonight we're just specifically concentrating on Satan, the one. But anyway, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan come also among them. That's why I believe it's like they came to an altar to present themselves to God. And Satan, though they can't see him, Satan's looking up to heaven going, this is the best that you've got. That's what you're looking at. Because here's what he says. And the Lord says unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered, the Lord said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant here, Job? Devil, you considered this one right here, Job?
That's why I believe, this is why, I want you to understand, this is why I believe these are not angels that Satan's in. He's among the sons of God. He's among church folk, because that's who he wants to cause. If he can cause us to mess up, the rest of the world will not get saved. If he can cause Christians to look bad to the world, why would anybody else? And so God says, if you consider right here, look, Satan, if you consider my servant here, Job. So he says, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, doeth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed him. Excuse me. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth now thine hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So we see here that he is now the accuser. He's the tempter of all men. God allows Satan. Now, God does not. Well, how's the word? No man can say when he is tempted, he is tempted of God. God cannot tempt man, neither is he tempted of man or something. Forgive me, I'm sorry. My brain is still a little foggy right now. You can look up the verse to get it more accurate, but you've got the thing. Anyway, Satan can only do to us, those of us that are saved, what God allows him. And God only allows Satan to do in your life what God knows that you can handle. That's what a lot of people don't realize. I know that sometimes we get discouraged when things happen in our life. We get upset. I know that I've been there too. Get discouraged sometimes, even when physical ailments come on us and things like that. But God only puts on us what he knows that we can handle. That same thing. God knew that God knew what Job could handle first. God didn't allow Job to go through his physical yet. Because God probably knew, though Job was a patient and a strong man in the Lord, God knew that if everything came on Job at one time, he probably wouldn't be able to handle it. But God knew if he allowed Satan to touch his finances and his family, that Job was able to. And if you read this, if you might read this story, it's been a while since I preached on it, but God allows Satan, and Satan touches his livestock, and all his livestock goes away. His 10 children, I'm pretty sure it was, 10 children end up getting killed and all. And that was just the first round. Well, then the devil comes back to the Lord and says, same thing again. He says, y'all, Job's just serving you because you're keeping him hedged in. And then the Lord says, okay, you can touch him, but you can't take his life. And Satan tempts him, or Satan goes after his flesh, causes boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Boils to come up on his head. And everything that come up in Job's life, Job never cursed God. He said, have I not received good at the hand of the Lord? Should I not also receive bad? Job realized, you know what? Sometimes that God uses things in our life as a testimony to others. But Satan. Satan wants to use those things to get you down. If God allows you to go through those things, God allows Satan to do that to you, the accuser of the saints, the tempter of all men, it's because God knows that you can handle it. Be strong in the grace that God gives you. God knew that here. And so this is a picture of being Satan, the tempter, going after one of the God's children, but God allows it because God knows what we can handle. God will not allow you, the Bible says, to be tempted above that we are able, but wherewith give us a way to escape, I think is the way it's worded. Go with us now to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28.
This is a picture right here that a lot of people don't even realize or know about Satan. Ezekiel 28. This is, Ezekiel's a little bit different, but you'll know by what it says that this is talking about the devil. This is talking about Satan. Ezekiel 28, skip down to verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Thou sealest up the sun full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. This is the way the Lord describes Lucifer. He said, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. So this is why that Satan, this shows you that the fall of Satan did not occur before. The fall of Satan did not occur before this world began. Listen to what he says here. He says, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Here's the way he describes. Think about this. This is the way he describes Lucifer. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. I believe this is why Satan has a strong influence in music. I believe Satan's part in heaven must have had something to do with music because of the things there at the end, the timbrets and thy pipes. Can you imagine? I mean, maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. Lord, forgive me if I'm wrong. But this is an angelic being God designed with some kind of pipes. So I believe that Satan was designed not just as a covering cherub. The Bible goes on here and say, we'll read in just a minute, to cover up for God's the throne of God. But I believe he played a vital role of music in heaven. And I believe that's the reason that the devil has such a strong influence of music in our day and time. Music has a very strong influence. A lot of people don't realize it. Some of the books I've got, they talk about it. When you research and you talk or you find out some of these rock and roll artists, the things that they testify of, that I sold my soul to the devil. Well, we know that you really can't sell your soul to the devil. You're already belong to the devil from when you're born. He said, "He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Well, these people don't realize you're already committed to Satan. But the Satan's got fooled into thinking they've made a contract or they've sold their soul to the devil. And y'all read some of these guys' testimonies. I've got some books on them. People like Ozzy Osbourne and the Black Sabbath and all these rock and roll. They'll tell you the drugs that they've done, that they've seen demons, they've seen demonic, that kind of stuff. That stuff is a gateway. That's why the devil wants these people. We should legalize drugs. Absolutely not. Drugs is a gateway to the demonic realm. It is a very demonic thing, drugs are. It is opening your body up to allow them demons to come in. The same thing, that's why we've talked about the same thing with meditation. When you don't meditate about anything, you're supposed to just clear your mind. No. The Bible talks about meditation in different things. But when you meditate on the Word of God. When you open your mind up and try to say, I'm not going to think about anything. I'm going to clear my mind. You're opening yourself up, actually, to demonic activity. A lot of people don't think of it that way, but it really is. If you're going to meditate, that's great. Meditate on God's Word in whatever way you see fit. But anyway, I believe this is one of the reasons that Satan has such a strong influence over music. Look at the words of music. It matters a lot. Ain't it ironic? I don't know. I don't remember when the song came out.
Ain't it ironic that a song that was popular 30 years ago, "We Don't Need No Education," is exactly what's happening in our day and time? We've got a bunch of, I don't remember when it came out. Do you remember when it came out? Would be 30 years?
Late 70s.
Late 70s.
Pink Floyd.
Yeah. We don't need no education. Now look at where we're at in our day and time. They are actually pushing. I saw this. I told my wife this week. The teacher reported this anonymously because she's afraid of retaliation. That a high school in Baltimore, 77% of their students cannot read on a elementary grade level. And I can't remember, that was still a significant portion of them. I don't remember what it was, 25% of them that cannot read on a kindergarten reading level in a high school in Baltimore. Music has a very strong influence over people. People will go out and say things. There are words. People will sing things in music that a lot of people don't even realize what they're singing or saying. I can look back now myself, and this is why I tell you to be on guard. There are songs, me and my wife have been through this several times. There are songs that we thought were love songs. And you look back now as a saved person, you realize they're talking about adultery. They're talking about shacking up. And you realize, well, wait a minute here. This is not a love song. But you in the day and time, you know, when it came out, oh, this is a beautiful love song. And then you look back and realize, wait a minute here. This ain't right. What is that? It's because music has a very strong influence. That's one of the things Brother Middlebrooks has volunteered, and I may end up taking him up on it sometime. I don't know when, but Brother Middlebrooks told me on Tuesday night he'd be glad to do a study on contemporary Christian music and the influence that contemporary Christian music has. Contemporary Christian music is very fleshly. Very fleshly. That's the reason I don't like it. I don't believe in it. Most contemporary Christian music is not biblically based. They'll call it Christian music, and it does not say anything about God. One of the most common Christian music songs, I don't know how many of y'all know it. My family knows it. But it's a contemporary Christian song, and it just says, "He knows my name," over and over again. Never says, "Who knows your name?" Doesn't have anything biblically based, anything like that. He knows my name. Every move that I make, is he talking about Santa Claus? Because according to the way people believe, a lot of people believe Santa Claus knows every move you make. Knows Santa Claus knows your name. The devil knows may know who your name is. So music is you've got to pay attention because. I know that me and my wife, we try to be very careful about the music we live, especially putting in front of our children with love songs and things like that, because we do, we love each other, we like expressing like that. But we like to be very careful about what we allow and different songs that we allow in our lives, and you have to stay on top of it because of the influence that it has. My wife and I were raised, she was raised on a lot more variety than I was, but we weren't raised on Christian music. We were raised on listening to anything you wanted to. And I look back now at some of the things, and as a saved man, I'm thinking, dear Lord, how did I let some of this garbage come out of my mouth? And even after I got saved, I battled music. And I believe it's because Satan's responsibility was something with music. And so I'm just giving you a warning tonight. I don't want to get too far off track now as it is, so forgive me. But listen, he says he was created with pipes in him. Verse 14, "Now thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou
that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Okay, so this is how you know that it's Satan. By the multitude of thy merchandise have they filled the midst, of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee out. I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall thou be any more. So we see his fate there, what God has, and we'll see that again in the book of Revelation, that his fate is to be cast into a lake of fire. We saw that his ways were perfect. What God had designed him for was perfect. So God designed Satan and his ways to be perfect. He's the one that committed iniquity. That's another one of his given names or given responsibilities, is the covering cherub. But it shows you that man is given a free will. And I believe that the angels are, to an extent also. Angels are given that thing, but Satan chose to be to sin and to commit iniquity. And that's just a few of the places here in the Old Testament. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me hurry up and get through these last few. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's more places and more things that we could go to, but we're just covering what's basically in the Constitution tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Again, he says, Paul writing, in whom the God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So somebody that is lost, somebody that's not saved, is blinded in the mind by the God of this world, which is Satan. Satan keeps people in bondage. Satan keeps people blinded to the truth. He says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And there, once again, we talked about this morning. What's he said? For we preach. Talked about this morning. That's why I preach. Because preaching the word of God is what God uses to save them which was lost. Though people may be blinded, listen, don't get upset with people that are lost. Don't get discouraged with them. Just pray for them. The God, little g, of this world, Satan, has blinded their eyes, even if it's somebody in your family, somebody that you love dearly. Satan has blinded them through religion. Satan has blinded them through false doctrine. Satan has blinded people through unbelief. There's many different things that we could go into. Satan's blinded some through rebellion. Some through, some even sitting on church pews. Satan has blinded people sitting on church pews and say, hey, I'm okay. I'm the preacher's daughter, so I can get to heaven. You don't get to heaven. You don't get to heaven by being the preacher's daughter. You get to heaven by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, repenting of your sins and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get to heaven. You don't get to heaven because you're related to the preacher. You don't get to heaven because you've been baptized. You don't get to heaven because you've been a church member. You get to heaven because you believe the gospel. He says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we see here or there that he's blinded the minds of those that are lost. And he is the God of this world. Going over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. He's talking about those that are saved. He said, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we see he's the prince of the power of the air. God's given him that. God's allowed him to do that. For whatever reason, God's allowed him to continue on. I don't know. I just trust the Lord that he knows best. But he says that we walked, those of us that are lost, we all walked according to the course of this world. You may not walked out, you may not been a prostitute, but before you got saved, you're walking according to the what the rest of this world is, which is in unbelief, which is in unregenerated, that kind of thing. He says that according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Somebody that's lost can become possessed with demons. I absolutely still believe that somebody can call me old fashioned. You can call me whatever you want to, but I believe this Bible. I still believe in demonic possession. I believe that the majority of the things that we see in this world, I'm not saying all of it, but I believe that the majority of mental illness in our day and time, these schizophrenics, I'm not saying every one of them, but I believe the vast majority of them, just like the Bible says, Jesus dealt with one. He said, what is thy name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Is that not exactly what schizophrenics say? I'm not saying every one of them. Some of them really could be something wrong with them. But the vast majority of people that are lost, I believe, are possessed with devils. Bible talks about it, and one of the scriptures it gives, and I don't have the reference to it right now, says that when and I'll paraphrase, but the Holy Spirit deals with somebody's heart, comes in, starts cleaning them up, cast out whatever demon may be in them. And if there's not even a demon in there, the Holy Spirit works on somebody's heart. And when the Holy Spirit's worked on your heart and you reject it and you don't get saved, guess what happens? That Holy Spirit pulls off waiting for another opportunity for you to speak to you and deal with you. And during that time, the Bible says if you had one demon in you, that one demon goes and finds seven more wicked than himself, and they come back. And then you go from one to eight now demons living inside of you. So the next time that you reject God, think about this. This is, you wonder how that guy got to be a legion. You know, the word legion can mean different up to different numbers. Some people believe it means around 2,000. How could a man be possessed with 2,000? Well, now if you rejected God one time, and you got eight demons living in you, the next time God comes to speak in your heart, those eight demons go out, they come back, and they realize you didn't get saved the second time, and those eight demons go out and find eight more themselves. Can we give you a math problem? No, I don't think so. No, you don't want no math problems tonight? You do that, you reject God three times. Those eight demons went out and found eight more. Each one of them went out and found eight. 64 plus the original eight. Makes 72. Then the next time, the third time now that you've rejected God, those 72 go out and find eight more themselves. It don't take long to get to a whole thing. Hey, all these people are demonic. A lot of these people in our day and time are demonic. I'm not saying all of it. There are real mental illnesses, and I believe that there are. But I, like I said this morning, we was talking about in Sunday school. God talked about it in the law. He told the nation of Israel, if you'll serve me and you'll listen to my commandments, I'll keep the sicknesses and the things out of your land. I believe the reason that we're seeing a drastic rise in autism, in cancer among children, is not necessarily their sin or even their parents' sin. It's that America as a whole has sinned. I'll say again, because Miss Tammy wasn't here this morning. I said this morning, I don't know if you saw it. There is a lawmaker, maybe I said Sunday school. There's a lawmaker in Arizona right now that's fostering three or four kids that said it would have been better for those kids to be aborted. This is a lawmaker, a state lawmaker in the state of Arizona, and his argument for abortion is because he's got four foster kids that they should have been aborted. What kind of person that's taking care of kids would dare say that in public to where their kids are going to see it? But that's where we're at. That's demonic. Why, how are these women out here? You've had children, Miss Alicia. You're thinking, how can how can somebody kill that little bitty baby? They're demonic. Now, some of them are deceived. But these women now that are shout your abortion. And out here, there was a woman the other day that did on live air on an interview, took an abortion, one of those abortion pills, on the live television. Why? She's demonic. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 1, even women leaving their natural, but it talks, women, it is natural for women to love. Women, I talked about, I'm not trying to be mean or put down, women are emotional. And women are, by nature, they're nurturing, loving people. But here we are in 2022, and we've got people now shouting it from everywhere. And if you as a woman are in any way anti-abortion, they look down on you. Like, how dare you? How can you as a woman choose to be pro-life? And it's like, what is wrong with you? They're demonic. They're demonic.
I got to move on.
The prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now work in the children of disobedience. That's what they are. They're demonic. Go over 1 Thessalonians. Just a few books over. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. This is where it talks about him being the tempter. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So he is the tempter. He's the one that tries to tempt you and keeps you from coming to that saving knowledge. He's the one that tries to tempt you and keep you out of church. He's the one that tempts you and can, hey, he's the one that will tempt you. This is why I tell men and women, he's the one that, God knows. And now the devil's not all knowing. But if we're to believe the Bible, we're to believe what the Bible says, that there is a spiritual realm and there's demonics and demons running around. Those demons will sit around you. They'll know your thoughts. They'll know what it takes to try to destroy you. Hey, as I talked about before with Brother Alfred Willis, God knew what he could handle. Brother Alfred Willis, when he was 71 years old, the devil sent a woman into his church to try to commit an affair at 71 years old. And his wife, this is what I love, a good godly wife. His wife said, he said, my wife right from the start, pegged her, said, that woman's got one thing in her heart. And Brother Willis, just like I would be, no, baby, it's okay. He said, after 6 months, I looked at my wife, said, you was right all along. That's right. See, women, if you just sit around and wait, we'll eventually admit that you're right. Just wait. Just wait, brother. You'll be saved tomorrow when nobody else is around. It's okay. The devil thought he knew what it would take to bring down Brother Alfred Willis. But Brother Willis, by the grace of God, that wasn't something that tempted him. Hey, the devil will bring women into your life to tempt you. Women, that's why you're supposed to take care of your husband. Men, that's why you take care of your wife. Because if you don't, the devil will send some sleazeball around, some man that'll sweet talk your wife. You may think not, but I'm telling you, it happens. If you've not seen that movie, Fireproof, that's exactly what happens in that. I know it's just a movie, but that's the way it happens in a movie or in real life.
Just like it happened in that movie, The Fireproof. You've not seen it, you ought to. My daughter told me she used to hate that movie. Was it Allie, because of the way they yell and scream at each other in that movie. But, you know, that's the way it gets. So when you're not living right and doing right, it happens. That's why you need to be in church, be living for God. God, listen, the devil will send anything in your life to disrupt you. He's the tempter. Got to move on. James, going over to James now, chapter number 4. After the book of Hebrews, James chapter number 4. I got to hurry up these last couple and I'll be done. James 4:7, he says, submit. Listen, here you go. You want some help with the trouble that you've got? You're having trouble with fighting and the devil getting on you? James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So if you'll submit yourself to God, and say, God, here am I. Here I am. Please protect me. Lord, use me and resist a devil. That's I'm not in the name of Jesus. He says in the Bible. I don't think I'm reading it tonight. That verse, but it says that even the angel. I think it's Michael when fighting with the devil over the body of Moses, stood up to him by the name of the Lord. That's how you want to stand up to him. You invoke the name of the Lord. Flee, resist, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Flip over now to 1 Peter chapter 5, the next book of the Bible there. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to hurry up because I kept you longer than I wanted to in my throat. 1 Peter 5, verse number 8. This is why you need to be careful. And maybe I'll go back and preach a little bit more in depth on some of these. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, be sober, be vigilant, for because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. When you watch those, has everybody in here watch some of those animal shows out on the prairies of Africa, and them lions, what are they always doing? They're always watching. What are they watching for? They're looking for the young or the sick. Why? Because those are the easiest ones to take down. What does the herd do usually, especially for the young? They try to put the young in the middle to try to protect them and keep them safe. But the Satan, he's looking for that sick one, that one that's getting out of church, the one that's not living right, reading their Bible. He's looking for that one. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking him who may devour. He's looking to catch you not doing right. He's looking to send somebody in your life to ruin your life. When you're not read up, prayed up, he's looking to destroy you. He's looking to make you not be the woman that you need to be come down a day on that you stand on this marriage altar. He's looking to destroy you. He says, verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not going through nothing that the rest of us ain't going through. But if you need help, that's what we're here for. If you're having trouble, listen, we're not here to run you down. We're not here to want to know your sin. But if the devil's giving you trouble, men, if the devil sent some woman into your life that you may be worried about, tell your wife. That's the best thing you can do. Don't hide it from her. Women, if the devil sent some man into your life, tell your husband. But if you need further help, that's what the church is for. He says that the same afflictions are accomplished in the brethren that are in the world. Hey, the same things that the world goes through, we go through too. But we have each other. The world doesn't have it. You know, we talk about misery loves company. When somebody's going through divorce, they like bringing other people. But as Christians, we don't like seeing people being miserable, go through those things. We want to help pick people up and help each other. If you're having trouble, you know, that's what we say, just like with the girls. If you're having trouble with something, maybe you're afraid to say it, just raise your hand and say, I got a special unspoken. God knows what it is. Please pray for me. And you don't have to go anything out. It could be something with your health. It could be something with you're going through. You know, if you don't want to get specific, we understand that. But God knows, and we know then to pray more for you. We pray for as much as we pray for each of you, and we try our best to pray for those that have been here and coming and all those things. But if you need special prayer, don't be afraid to ask. He's our adversary. You're not on the side of the devil. He's a roaring lion, and he's looking to devour you. He's looking to destroy you. He's looking to destroy you. If he gets you out of church, he can get you out of church. You know what that says to other people in this town? Well, there's the pastor's daughter. She don't even go to church anymore. Wasn't real enough for her. It ain't real enough for me. That's what they'll say. That's why you, listen, that's why we, I know it's an extra pressure on you. I know it does. I wasn't raised this way. Y'all know that. My mama wasn't raised this way. And we know we put a lot of pressure on you. But because we know that you can handle it. Because God says you can handle it. If God knew you couldn't handle it, he wouldn't give this to you. Maybe that's why he didn't give us boys. God knew they couldn't handle it. I don't know. Go to Revelation chapter 12 real quick. Let me finish these last two and I'll be done with this on this. Revelation 12 verse 9. Revelation 12 verse 9. And the great dragon, again there's another name given to him, was cast out. That old serpent, that's another name, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So he's the accuser of the brethren here. He's Satan. He's the devil. He's the old serpent. He's the dragon. All those names. The one host of the third of heaven fell with him. He accuses us day and night. Verse number 11, though, I love what that says. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives unto death. So there we see that. Now go to chapter 20, verse number 10. I'll be done with this one then. And we've gone through just the ones that are in the Constitution tonight. There's, like I said, there's several others we could have, and I thought of one that I wanted to, but it's not in there. But like I said, I may do another study on it. There's a lot more we could anyway. Revelation 20 verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's the final punishment of the devil. That's the final punishment of the devil. Now we could talk about here, the Bible says that at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign, Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. That's coming up very soon. And after that 1,000 years of Christ ruling and reigning for 1,000 years, the devil's going to be loosed for a little season. And just loosing that little season, after God himself in the form of Jesus Christ rules and reigns on this earth for 1,000 years, the devil's still going to be able to deceive a great multitude to rise up against Jesus. Ain't that sad? Even after Jesus himself has ruled and reigned there in chapter 20 with a rod of iron for 1,000 years, the devil's still going to be able to deceive the nations once again. That's how easily man is deceived. That's why it's not in us to get ourselves to heaven. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes God to get us to heaven. If it wasn't for God, we'd all be lost and on the road to hell. That's what that's talking about there. But that's his eventual place, his eventual home. And if you're here this evening and you're not saved and you don't get saved before you die, you'll be cast into that lake of fire just like Satan will, to burn forever and forever. Hey, we ought to be praying for the people across, praying for the people of Albania, praying for the people of New York, praying for all those other places that we support, that God, through these men and women, we'd be able to win people to the Lord. Pray for these tracts. Pray for what we're doing here, that people would come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because if not, one of these days, we'll watch loved ones, friends, be cast into that lake of fire. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. The little God of this world has blinded the minds of those of this world that are lost, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine through. Maybe I'll preach that one. Let me preach that next Sunday, we'll see. Let's all stand this evening. I'm going to give an altar call. The altar's always open. If you're here this evening and you've not been saved, I want to give an opportunity. I want you to say, I don't want you to say you didn't get a chance. I hope you come to that saving knowledge before it's everlasting too late. Father, help us this evening on the altar. Lord, may we as saved folk, may we, Lord, call out the names of those that have been in church, God, those that we've been praying for, those that we've loved and witnessed to, God. May they come to that saving knowledge before it's everlasting too late. And Lord, if there's one among us tonight, Lord, lost, may they come to that saving knowledge before it's everlasting too late. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.